Hey, remember when Michael Pineda was cool? Well, Corey Kluber has completely one-upped him. It's Thursday, May 14th. Adam Azer, Chris Towers, and Al Melchior. So, remember when we were telling people to buy low on Kluber? How you feeling now?
Yeah, that was the most obvious. It's not even one that you can take credit for, because it was such an obvious call.
No, I'm going to take credit.
All right.
I'm the one
that wrote the blog post. If anybody gets credit, I've got it in stone.
No, I'm still taking credit.
All right, you can have credit.
Actually, I think it was me. I think I kind of inspired you to write that blog post. And so you're welcome, everybody. It's Fantasy Baseball Today. Watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. Eastern Time if you want some DFS advice. And Heath Cummings is actually coming on the podcast today. So that's awesome. And he's going to tell us a little bit in about 50 minutes or so about who to start in your FanDuel lineup tonight. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Today is buy or sell. Kluber, Sonny Gray, Jason Hamill's been really good. Shin-Soo Chu is still hot. DFS, as I mentioned, and plenty more. Let's start with, and we're just going to get right into it because a lot happened yesterday. You can find me in the Kluber. Kind of a 50 Cent play on words there. It's hard to get something done with Kluber unless you're going to go with Kluber Lang. So you can find me in the Kluber. No walks, 18 strikeouts, one hit over 8 innings. And, I mean, if you just look at baseball history and guys who have had games like that, it's not fluky.
19th pitcher in Major League history to strike out 18 batters or more in a game. And he did in 8 innings. He was taken out of the game with 113 pitches. With the way he was going, he pretty easily could have gotten to 20 if they had let him go out there for the ninth.
I don't even know what there is to say. We could probably move on, but he's an elite ace.
You should have been buying low on him last week. It's way too late to do it now.
Yeah.
It is, but, like, you know, is he still going to be as good as he was last year?
I mean, probably not. But so what?
Yeah, like even if he's worse than he was last year, he was one of the three best pitchers in baseball. If he's only one of the six best pitchers in baseball this season, I think it's still pretty good.
And that's pretty much what I figure he's going to be. And I think he and Chris Sale have taught us a little lesson about small sample sizes and paying attention to the peripherals.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that. I think we fully expect Clayton Kershaw to do the same.
Yep.
But do we learn anything about Steven Strasburg from Corey Kluber? And even Cole Hamels, who I have in the notes as no lump of coal, because he's been awesome his last two starts. He struck out 9, got the win last night over 7 innings with only 2 runs allowed. And his previous start, 7 innings, 1 run, and 8 strikeouts against the Mets. So it just seems like these guys are coming out of their slumps, predictably. What about Strasburg? Can you draw parallels to those others with Steven Strasburg?
I don't think I can, because I actually see causes for concern with Strasburg. There's just a lot more contact that's being made off of him so far this year. And that wasn't really the case with Sale, or at least, you know, in the long term, that wasn't the problem with Sale. And that was never the problem with Kluber really at any point this year.
Yeah, Kluber's peripherals were pretty much identical, if not better, than last season, whereas Strasburg has pretty much taken a step back, or 2 steps back, or 3 steps back, pretty much in every possible place.
I just wish there were a logical explanation, because it's not like velocity with Strasburg, right? You know, I think it's location. From what I've seen, and certainly this was the case in his last start, horribly located pitches. So I wonder if that's fixable and if the peripherals are going to right themselves.
Last season, he threw 48.6% of his pitches in the strike zone. This season, it's up to 53.8. So that's going to lead to a lot more contact, and that's where you see the difference between command and control. They aren't the same thing.
Correct. You know? But do you think with that stat, suggesting that his command might be off and he's leaving too many pitches in the zone, do you think that is actually encouraging sign for Strasburg that he could come out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's fixable, but I mean, at this point, we're really just kind of, you know, hoping for a regression back to where he was, because we don't, you know, we just sort of admit it. We don't really know why this is happening. So, it makes him risky. And for me, actually, it makes him worth benching at this point.
Nifty Shades of Grey. How do you like that one?
I like it.
Did you guys see that movie?
No.
Did not.
Are you going to have to see that movie?
No, my wife has no interest in that movie.
Ditto.
Well, aren't you guys lucky? Sonny Gray, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, and 9 strikeouts against Boston. And I will remind people, he's got a 1.61 ERA. Last year, he had a 2.06 ERA in April, 3 ERA in May, 5.40 in June, 1.03 in July, 4.38 in August, 3.29 in September. Overall, still a very good year, but he had a bad June. Where are you on Sonny Gray? Al, I don't mean to be rude, but I know you were kind of down on Sonny Gray coming into the year. So you can kick it off. How do you feel about him? He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, that wasn't rude in any way.
I know. I don't want to call you out.
Yeah, no,
I applaud your boldness.
This is
not
this
your
is...
baldness. You're not bald.
No, I'm not.
No.
This is one where I think I was wrong. I think this far into the season, almost a quarter into the season, I could be confident in saying that I was, what was the font said? I was, remember that?
I don't remember it, but you've.
Well, no, that's right, because
you bring it up, and now I know what it is.
Yeah.
I think you were wrong, but I think it made sense. His strikeout rate in the minors was never great. His strikeout rate last season was never great. He didn't necessarily project to be this ace, but he has improved his strikeout rate this season. I think that's played a big part.
That's the key. And the one sort of caveat I had when I was calling him a bust is, you know, look, he's young enough and high end enough that he could take some big leap in his development, but he would have to do that to not be a bust. But that is what he has done.
If you could turn him into, well, okay, forget that. Where would you rank him now? I think you're going to move him up. You have him in the 30s.
Yes.
So where is Sonny Gray now for you guys rest of season?
All right. Well, top of mind, I'm thinking 20-ish. And Chris, you can go ahead while I look at my rankings and figure out exactly where I'm going to land him.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, 20-ish sounds good because I know, you know, DeGrom is in that kind of 18 to 20 range, and I think I'd probably rather have Sonny Gray than DeGrom. So I would definitely move him into the higher teens at least, closer to 15 than 20 maybe.
DeGrom is the new D. Gordon for Chris Towers.
No, it's... okay, DeGrom's the wrong person to bring up then. Let's say a Colin McHugh. Or, you know, these are guys in the 20th range that I think I would feel pretty confident in saying at this point, Sonny Gray looks better than them.
Arrieta or Gray for you, Chris?
Oof. That's tough because Arrieta's a guy who's doing pretty much everything you want a pitcher to do right now. He's getting more ground balls, more strikeouts, and fewer walks than Gray. I think I might go Arrieta.
That's fair. Al, where are you settling in on Sonny Gray now?
It's going to be somewhere like the 20 to 23 range because I'm going to, you know, do some rearranging there. DeGrom's there. I could drop him a couple more spots. I could possibly drop Jordan Zimmermann another spot or two, maybe move Chris Archer up. And that's my 20, 21, 22 right now. So somewhere in there, Sonny Gray will land.
Ooh, I like this. This is fun. I'm looking at your rankings right now, and there are two pitchers that you have ahead of Sonny Gray, ahead of Jacob DeGrom, even ahead of Garrett Cole, that I would definitely take Gray over them. But I get where you're coming from. I think it's bold, Al. Michael Pineda and Danny Salazar. You have them in your top 18.
Yep, knew that's where you were going. And for Pineda, he was lower earlier in the year because of health concerns and sort of projecting rest of season, building in DL time. I don't care anymore. He's just too elite. And Salazar, it's been a consistency issue, and I haven't seen a consistency problem so far.
I was thinking two other guys that are even higher ranked. What about Strasburg and Carrasco? Is there any thought to moving them below those guys?
Possibly Strasburg. Okay. Probably not, because even though I'm saying I'm benching him now, you know, he could wind up rest of season being, you know, top five.
So if I offered you Sonny Gray or Danny Salazar for Steven Strasburg, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd see no way.
You would not do that.
I would not do that. Remember, I'm talking about benching Strasburg, not trading, and certainly not dropping
him.
Okay. Yeah.
Al, you're such a big
Genesis. It'd be a bad time to trade him.
Al, you're such a big Genesis fan.
You'd be getting a Danny Salazar or a Sonny Gray. Those are pretty good players.
That's probably the best I could expect right now, sure.
But they're good.
They're good. I don't know. I don't have much confidence that either one's going to finish top five. I have some confidence that Strasburg could, but he's got to get it right.
Now I'm going to make my Genesis comment. Al, you're such a big Genesis fan, and you said, quote, I don't care anymore about Michael Pineda. And yeah, you could have said it like Phil Collins.
Like, I don't care anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
That didn't sound anything like him at all.
It's a hard impression, but we would have known what you were going for. The big news. Will Myers back to San Diego to have his wrist examined. Abraham Almonte, and if you're in NL only league or something, and who do I pick up if he's out for a while? Abraham Almonte led off twice in a row now, but Will Venable was in center field last night. They're in an AL park, so they can use a DH. If Myers misses time, would you guys bank on Venable or Almonte or what? NL only here we're talking, obviously.
Yeah, Venable before Almonte.
Yasiel Puig will be out at least another couple of weeks with his hamstring injury. Matt Holliday left after being hit by a pitch on the elbow. Pretty much the only thing to hit Corey Kluber yesterday was Holliday's elbow. He's day-to-day. David Price's start was pushed back to Saturday, but Price says he's not concerned about his hamstring. Arizona targeting June 4th for Patrick Corbin. I had a decision to make in the league last night, and I just didn't know, so I'll ask you. Patrick Corbin or Matt Moore?
Corbin. Yeah, I don't really have much interest in Matt Moore.
All right. Kenley Jansen could return Friday. Sean Doolittle will begin his rehab assignment today. Yan Gomes could begin a rehab assignment Friday. Only better news for Corey Kluber. J.D. Martinez day-to-day with back tightness. And Angels catcher Carlos Perez has started 6 of the last 8 games. And Al, that's a guy that you talked about on Monday, I think, as someone you were interested in adding in 2 catcher leagues, Carlos Perez.
Yeah, and I did add him in one and tried in another and failed, coming a dollar short on Fab.
Loser! Sorry. Keep going, Al.
I'm not sure I can after that. I think what I said on Monday is that I like him as much as any of these young rookie catchers that have been called up. And I'll stick to that. In fact, I think even though Swihart is probably the better prospect long term, right now I'd rather Perez.
Chris Towers owns FanDuel lately, doesn't Chris? Chris?
Yeah, man. 2 days in a row. That's enough of a sample size for me to say I'm an expert.
Well, FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. So if you want that bonus of up to $200, go use our offer code CBS on FanDuel.com. There are a variety of games to play. You can do tournaments with a bigger risk but much higher reward, 50-50s, head-to-head. You can do early games only. You can do late games only. Later on, we'll give advice on the late slate. I believe that is 6 games. It's tough, but it's almost impossible to not start Johnny Cueto tonight if you're doing the late games, but we will ask Heath in a little bit. Here's your quote of the day. This quote is from Brian Price, by the way. There is a scenario that he can stay with us. He has a better understanding of where he needs to go with his pitches than most pitchers his age, end quote. Oh yeah. So
you know what that means?
What's that?
That means more Michael Lorenzen in the rotation, because it's not like Brian Price is going to telegraph what he's doing with his rotation. That's not going to help the team.
Wait. I don't get it.
So, Brian, you know, Brian Price, he doesn't like to let the media know.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
That bleeping thing. Sorry. Should have remembered that.
But, no, Lorenzen's actually going to the bullpen, and Iglesias could stick, although they don't need a fifth starter for 12 more days.
Well, this is exciting, I think. 14% owned, Raisel Iglesias. He had a no-hitter through 5. 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Braves. In his other major league start this year, I think he was scoreless through 4 innings, then got roughed up a bit in the 5th by the Cardinals. And looking at the minor league game log this morning, not that impressive for Iglesias. But still, I'm excited.
Have you guys watched him, though?
Yes, and that's why I'm excited.
It's just great fun.
I know. He's like, he looks like he could be a stud.
Yeah.
I have concerns about him in like the 6th, 7th inning because he's been mostly a reliever.
Yeah.
So how are you guys feeling about Raisel Iglesias right now of the Reds?
I love that he's a guy who throws a decent number of pitches already and will just change his arm slot at will. Sometimes he goes way over the top, and then sometimes he's almost sidearm. And I think that if you can keep it consistent, it can really make your pitches play up more. And so I actually do like his upside.
Yeah, I do too. I was shocked that he went this deep into a game. I was shocked, frankly, he pitched this well.
Yeah.
After not pitching very well in the minors. Maybe he was bored. I don't know. But shame on me for dropping him. I think, Adam, were you the one who picked him up in, I think it was our podcast league?
Scott picked him up in the podcast league. I got him for $2 in our auction league. And he's okay. RP eligible, so. The podcast league, it's like, it was easier for me in our roto league because I had someone, I dropped Alex Colome for him, and I didn't feel bad about doing that. Podcast league is so shallow that it's kind of hard to stash guys. You know, you want to be able to use everybody on your team.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I didn't put in a claim for him there. Also, I didn't know last night if he was going to stick around. I still don't know. Well, I guess, is he definitely going to be in the rotation, even if it's a couple weeks coming?
Not definitely, but it does. I would say it looks likely.
So, it's easy to get excited about the start. I think there are some caution flags with him. Would you drop Alex Colome for Iglesias?
Oh, in a second.
Would you rather have Carlos Frias or Iglesias?
I'd rather have Iglesias, but I like Frias too. It's not that that big of a difference.
Would you drop Jimmy Nelson for Raisel Iglesias?
I actually wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Okay. Throw of the day. Did you see what Jeff Francoeur did last night?
I did not actually see it. I read words that described it.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. I watched one out of that game, or actually two outs because it was a double play. And he got Jonathan Papelbon his 113th save. That makes him Philadelphia's all-time leader. Francoeur threw out Steve Lombardozzi at home plate on an attempted sacrifice fly to end the game, and it was just a dart. So actually, my question, though, is your thoughts right now on the Phillies' bullpen. Predict the future.
Jonathan Papelbon closes for the Blue Jays, and Ken Giles closes for the Phillies.
Yeah, by the middle of July, that's probably true.
You don't think Cecil locks down that job?
No, I mean you could fill in the blank somewhere else. Blue Jays look like could be Brewers, maybe some team with a less than stable closer situation.
Next up, we have our childhood toy of the day, and that would be the yo-yo, because last night was the first matchup in baseball history of two starting pitchers whose first names begin with Y-O, Yovani Gallardo versus Yordano Ventura,
and it lived up to the hype.
Well, I'm terrible. I never could get yo-yos. They're like Rubik's Cubes to me. I'm so bad at them.
They made the ones eventually that like pretty much did all the work for you.
Well, I don't
They cheat. Would like sleep and stuff. It was great. It was great fun.
That's the PED of the yo-yo world, and I just exactly. am not for it. We'll talk more about Yordano Ventura in just a little bit because he's been bad.
Yeah.
Let's look at bullpens. Interesting stuff here. Craig Kimbrell. I went through all of his game logs, and I'm not certain because I wanted to double check. I think this is the worst stretch of his career. Last nine appearances, Kimbrell has a 10.57 ERA. Is anybody worried about Kimbrell?
No. My closer column goes up today, and that's basically the lead. I'll give it away right now. No, I'm not worried. He's given up two home runs. He's got a 1.42 home run per nine, which looks terrible for a guy who's consistently been under 0.5 in his career, but it's 14 innings. You know, it's two home runs in 14 innings. If he goes 35 innings without giving up a home run, nobody would be shocked. Pretty much everything looks right for him except the ERA and the home runs.
Well, 14 hit. I mean, he's given up a hit per inning, which for some closers isn't that bad, but for him, it's holy crap, you know?
Yeah, last year on May 11th, he had a 4.58 ERA. This happens early in the season if you have a couple of bad outings, and that's really all it's been. Okay. I think it's been three outings that he's given up a run, maybe four. So, no, I'm not worried about Craig Kimbrell at all.
Addison Reed, when is his job security going to expire? He gave up a grand slam yesterday. He's got a 7.20 ERA. I read about it this morning in a couple of Arizona newspapers, and the sentiment seems to be, they don't really have an obvious replacement because if they use Ziegler, then they have no setup man. They just don't have a very good bullpen. So Certainly, there could be some changes. Arizona kind of not really committing to him. His manager, Chip Hale, didn't exactly give him a vote of confidence, just said, let's wait till the dust settles. What's your take on that bullpen situation, Chris Towers, whose bullpen column comes out today?
Thanks for the plug.
Hey, no problem.
Addison Reed's not good. He has never really been a particularly great reliever. He's had a couple of high save seasons, but it's not like he's ever been productive outside of the save column. He's a fly ball pitcher who pitches in a bad park for it. I think he's just not someone that you feel particularly confident in. I'd like to see them move Ziegler in for fantasy purposes. That would be obviously the most ideal outcome, but you know, if they don't feel comfortable moving their best reliever into the closer's role, I can't blame them.
Is Ziegler now the number one non-closer to stash?
I think maybe just by default.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because the guy ahead of him is so bad.
Yeah.
And A.J. Ramos got the save last night for the Marlins with a scoreless inning and two strikeouts, and he's really quite the strikeout pitcher, and Ramos is 30% owned. I'm going to go to Al this time. We've talked about this, I think, 3 days in a row, but now that he got the save and they said they were going closer by committee, it's only been one opportunity since they said that. Your thoughts?
I think Ramos will emerge. My initial thought, before Cishek officially lost the job was that Brian Morris would get the first shot just because he was being used pretty consistently as the eighth inning guy. Even if they both get an equal shot, I do think Ramos is the better pitcher. So I think given this opportunity, he will emerge as the Marlins closer.
Before we do buy or sell, let's break out the worryometer. 0 to 10. 0, you're not worried at all. 10, pretty worried. Gio Gonzalez, bad start yesterday after two good ones in a row.
Again, this is the question that always comes up with the worryometer. It's calibrated based on your expectations. And I didn't have really high expectations for Gonzalez. I think he was going to suck, but if I've got him, I definitely don't feel bad about benching him, and I probably don't even really feel that bad about dropping him in a shallow league.
Al, I've been trying to trade Gio Gonzalez. I kind of agree with you. And remember, I was the one that was like, you're too low on Gio Gonzalez, so I'll own that. But I think I was too high on Gio Gonzalez
I'll take it. His ground ball rate's way up. His hard hit rate is way down. I think he's fine.
He had a pretty bad year, pretty like a below average or maybe just average year last year.
3.6 ERA was 3.4 the season before. That's
You talk about trending in the wrong direction, and it just seems like he is year after year.
I guess his FIP has gone down in three straight years, as has his ex-FIP. So I'm not too concerned about it. He's not an ace, but I think he's a fine pitcher.
All right, that's Gio Gonzalez. Yordano Ventura. Uh-oh. I saw it's kind of a weird stat. So his opponent batting average is .302. And his BABIP, his BABIP is .302. His opponent batting average is .270. Last year, his opponent batting average was .240. The BABIP was .289. So, I don't know, does that mean anything to you guys? And he's getting more ground balls this year than he was last year.
Yeah, but despite that, what it does mean is that he is giving up more hits that are not in play, i.e. home runs.
Okay. Ventura closed out last year, 7-2, 2.48 ERA in his last 11 starts. Did walk a lot of guys, but also struck out a lot of guys. This year, he's not striking guys out. He's got a 5.36 ERA. Worryometer 0-10 on Yordano Ventura.
Seven, really? Well, again, calibrate expectations. I was sort of low on Ventura coming in. I was going to say about three because he was very inconsistent last year, as I recall, with strikeouts.
Yeah, that you weren't high on him, and I remember hearing that on the podcast in the offseason, but a lot of people were really high on him.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he was an ace in waiting that was going to break out this season. The strikeout rate's moved in the completely wrong direction, and his velocity's down 1.5 miles per hour on his fastball.
Yeah, so, and the swings and misses are down pretty substantially, too.
I think there's reason to be concerned here. He's not someone that you're thrilled about if he's just a ground ball pitcher.
Do you think Jason Hammel will be better than Yordano Ventura this year?
I don't think so. I think I had them in the same neighborhood before the season started, but I think I had Ventura maybe 5 to 10 spots higher.
I think he really could be.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about him in a bit. He's been really good. Now, Ian Desmond, and here's how we're going to calibrate the worryometer today, and it's always subject to change by, you know, I'm very whimsical with this, and it's a stupid scale, so we never know how to calibrate it. But we're going to calibrate it today by popular opinion, popular expectations. You know, not necessarily our own, but we know how people value Gio Gonzalez, and we know how what they thought Ventura was going to be, and we know that Ian Desmond is supposed to be a stud. And he continues to slump. 0 for 5 yesterday. 225 on the year. He's only attempted one stolen base. He has only 2 home runs. Ian Desmond, 0 to 10.
I'll go 3 with him, too. You know, we're talking about, particularly Ventura, maybe not Gonzalez so much, but Ventura and Desmond, guys that are streaky, very streaky. And their slumps are coming early this year.
He was, what, like a third-round pick this season?
Yeah,
Desmond.
Yeah,
I think at the highest. Yeah.
Okay. I'd say 5. His ground ball rate is way up to 60%. I think that's a big reason for concern. Yeah.
Now, if you look at Desmond batting .225 with 2 home runs, no steals. Look at where he was May 13th last year, .219. Actually, worse batting average. 5 home runs, so 3 more homers, and 2 steals in 3 attempts. So, yeah, he is streaky, and if you look at the game logs from last year, May 12th is when he broke out. Now, today's May 14th.
He's already behind.
Yeah, I know.
Money in.
Evan Gattis on the worryometer here. He's back in the slump. He's 1 for his last 19, and he's not even a top 10 catcher.
So this segment could double as Let's Go Streaking.
It could totally go Let's Go Streaking. Gattis is streaking in the wrong direction.
Frustrating, but not worrisome. So, worryometer for me, I'll go 2.
I'll go 1. I looked it up yesterday. Since opening the season, like 0 for 20, I believe is what it was. He's only hitting .217, but that's with a .200 BABIP. His ISO was like .220. He's hitting for power. The BABIP's going to go up. He's never going to be a high BABIP guy, but I think there's plenty of reason to be confident, and I would be buying low on him.
Steven Vogt, Evan Gattis, rest of season.
Evan Gattis.
See, having said that, I really like Vogt, though. I think I'd still go Vogt.
All right.
You should. It's your civic duty.
Ben Revere. We got a little lower end here. Ben Revere was 27th best in points last year, 17th in Roto at outfield, and he's off to a slow start. He does have 6 steals, but .252 batting average last year. Revere hit .306. I guess it's kind of a tougher worryometer since we don't know quite what people think of him. But Ben Revere, worryometer.
Let's see.
Based on meeting last year's expectation, which is top 30 in points, top 20 in Roto.
Yeah, I'm going to say 7, and I've actually given some thought to trading him.
Yeah, I've benched him in the leagues that I have him in. He's a guy with 0 margin for error. He basically has to have a .330, .340 BABIP to be a useful fantasy option. And when you don't hit for power, and you really need to get a lot of singles, and he hasn't been getting them lately.
And you know, last year he had a BABIP that I think was in that neighborhood,
.330,
and he's capable of it given the speed that he has. But he also cut his strikeout rate back, and that helped him get his
backup
and his backup exactly. So that's, for me, is a cause for concern.
And that's Ben Revere. And now we're going to go to the dropometer. 0 to 10. 10's a drop. 0's no way. Jason Wirth, who homered yesterday, but is batting just .189.
2. I've got him in a couple of leagues and not even considering dropping him.
I think I saw yesterday he's had the most outs that have traveled at least 370 feet in baseball. I think he's had 6 outs.
That is a cool stat.
On Baseball Savant. I was looking it up yesterday.
BaseballSavant.nerd.
BaseballSavant.com.nerd is not a workable internet address.
29 minutes into the podcast, we get our
NRD.
Nerd stat of the day.
Come on. We got to get that going. .nrd.
.nrd.
Yeah, I was looking it up to see if Troy Tulowitzki's power outage has just been the result of him having a bunch of balls die in the warning track or, you know, have bad luck with that. And it just so happened that Jason Wirth was the guy that stood out.
But that is, because I looked into the same thing for Tulo.
Yeah.
And that he has had some near misses.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Oh, did you see what happened to him last night? He had a home run taken away by a leaping Mike Trout.
That was nice timing, because I wrote about his power yesterday.
And you think his power will come back?
The power should. I'm worried about his plate discipline. Everything has moved in the wrong direction.
We're going to have him covered on all angles. I'm writing about him today, and I'm writing about his pull tendencies.
There you go.
Oh, come on, guys. He's Tulowitzki. He's going to go crazy as long as he stays healthy.
I think he's going to hit for power. I think he's going to have a high average, but he's got like 2 walks on the season.
Really?
He's just swinging at everything.
Come on, guys. He's
selling out for power, which is fine as once the power comes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, that's very interesting. All right, go to the website, fantasynews.cbsports.com. Read all about it. Time for some buy or sell. How about the first 3 buy or sells? From Jim DeKid, Ryan Bolin, and Mike Schaefer. Buy or sell, Carlos Gonzalez is finished, dunzo, kaput, he's droppable. Buy or sell, buying low on Carlos Gonzalez. And Delino DeShields or Carlos Gonzalez, I'm almost serious. That last one was from Mike. So there's a different range of emotion there with Carlos Gonzalez. Let's start with buy or sell. Cargo is finished. Dunzo kaput.
I'm going to sell that, but if you're going to make me choose between that and buy low, then I'll buy that he's dunzo.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on what we mean by dunzo.
I mean, I'm being very literal-minded.
Is it dunzo as in done as a major league player? No, he's not done, but done as an elite fantasy option? Probably.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking more done as a 12-team mixed league guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think he's done as an elite. I don't think he's done as a rosterable guy.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, look, 12-team, 3 outfielder league, like our podcast league. I had to drop Jay Bruce, and nobody's picked him up.
Yeah.
If that had been Carlos Gonzalez, I don't know that I would have had the stones to do it. Would you drop him in that format? 3 outfielders.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, and
I'd be stashing him.
I know you're not going to take Delino DeShields over Carlos Gonzalez, but Delino DeShields is actually playing pretty well right now. Any interest in him?
Deep roto.
Okay. Chris Daniel, buy or sell. Steven Vogt leads the American League in RBI and finishes as the number 1 catcher in fantasy.
Selling it.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to buy the second part, but sell both.
Timothy Ori, AJ Ramos keeps the job and finishes the season with 25 to 30 saves. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Why?
I think the Marlins aren't going to pay Steve Cishek 11% of their payroll to be a setup man. I think they're going to give him a chance again. I think the first sign of AJ Ramos struggling, Cishek gets the job back.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic about Ramos keeping the job. I was just more kind of doing the proration that, with just a little more 3/4 of the season left, will he get that many save opportunities? So I think I'm just selling the saves part of it.
And, oh, that was, by the way, one of the excuses given for Addison Reed is that they haven't had a lot of save opportunities.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's why.
And he hasn't pitched regularly enough. But, I'm not buying that. So, Adrian, buy or sell, Yordano Ventura is going to get better later in the season. Yordano Ventura.
I'm definitely buying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get better. Steven, buy or sell, Adam Azer ever gets as excited on baseball podcasts like he does on the football podcast?
He gets excited about calling me a nerd.
I get very excited on the baseball podcast. Here's the difference, Steven. I love Dave and Jamie. They're like big brothers to me. I mean that. But they drive me crazy. On the football podcast.
They're so mean to you.
And it's like kind of the game, so it's not like I'm mad, but that's why I get excited on the football podcast.
Adam, it's okay. You don't have to be scared.
I love the baseball.
This is a safe place.
I actually get to talk on the baseball podcast. You know how exciting that is for me? Football podcast, I go like 5 minutes and then ask like a 3-word question, and then the two of them are at it again. Fringy, we got more buy or sell later, but fringy starting pitchers of a good group today here. John Lackey's 84% owned. I personally consider him fringy because he is terrible on the road, and he wasn't very good yesterday. Taiwan Walker. All right, showing some improvement. 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 Ks, 1 walk against the Padres. Al's boy, Miguel Gonzalez, got a 2.93 ERA, and he had a very good start yesterday against Toronto. Apparently, he owns Toronto in his career, though. Giovanni Gallardo, 57% owned. Hector Santiago, great start yesterday, 48% owned. Carlos Frias is 7% owned. One of the runs that he allowed was inherited. It was an inherited runner. But, you know, bullpen gave it up for him. And Nathan Carnes, 5 innings, 2 runs, both in the first inning, 6 strikeouts against the Yankees. Lackey, Walker, Gonzalez, Gallardo, Santiago, Frias, Carnes. Top 3, please.
I've been down on Walker, but I think I still have to go with him as number 1. I'd probably go Walker, Santiago, Gonzalez.
I will go Walker, Lackey, Gonzalez.
I had a feeling Carlos Frias would make his way into there, but you guys did not go with him.
No, he's he's probably 4th for me. Santiago, Frias, and Carnes are pretty much on an even level for me.
One thing about Taijuan Walker, he's at Toronto and at Baltimore next week. I think all these guys might be 2-star pitchers. Hector Santiago is at Toronto and at Boston next week. And let's see, Carnes is a 2-star pitcher at Atlanta and home against Oakland. So those could be good. Should I look up Miguel Gonzalez? Sure, why not? I think he's a 1-star pitcher. And Frias has the Giants and the Padres. Giants on the road, Padres at home. We'll talk 2-star pitchers tomorrow. In terms of Wednesday's standouts, I wanted to mention 2 guys, Jason Hamill and Jose Quintana. They're owned in 84% and 82% of leagues, respectively. Hamill and Quintana, do they feel more like 95% ownership guys to you?
Yeah, they do. I would say Quintana especially.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Quintana, which is why this start has been really disappointing for me, but I haven't dropped him yet, so I'm feeling better about that after yesterday.
Yeah, 10 strikeouts, 1 run, and 7 innings for Jose Quintana. 6 earned runs in his last 4 starts. He's pitching better. And yeah, I mean, Hamill, if you look at what Hamill did against with the Cubs last year before the trade, he was 8-5 with a 2.98 ERA, 1.02 whip, just about a strikeout per inning. Right now he has a 3.11 ERA, but 6 walks and 41 strikeouts.
I mean, those walks, I have to say, I didn't realize his walk rate was that low. And looking at the notes, I just double-checked to make sure that was right. And it is, of course. So that's great, because that's been, at times, an Achilles heel for Hamill.
And only 23 walks last year with the Cubs in over 100 innings. Well, anyway. Ender Inciarte was another guy I wanted to talk about, fellas. 60% owned, and he's a top 25 outfielder. And he's not really, like, doing anything so special, so I feel like he could keep that up. For a guy who's 60% owned, top 25 outfielder, what do you think about Ender Inciarte?
Well, that ranking is amazing, considering that nobody in that the Arizona outfield really plays every day.
Yeah.
I guess Trumbo probably comes closest. And so that's the thing, is that with the trio of Pollock, Inciarte, and Peralta, I like all of them. I would just like them more if one of them was out of the picture.
Inciarte, for what it's worth, he's hitting, I think, .333 against lefties. And he's a left-handed hitter. That might bode well for him potentially getting more consistent playing time.
Yeah, it seems like Peralta is the one who probably gets left out the most. But, you know, he's hit well when given the chance.
You guys have any more standouts?
Oh, man, that Iglesias start was really good, huh?
Yeah, I know. We usually don't wait 38 minutes to get to the standouts. We've pretty much talked about all of them.
Yeah, kind of hard to compare anybody to Kluber and Iglesias from last night.
Yeah. Injuries, news, and notes. Josh Harrison batted leadoff. Houston Street, 2-year, $18 million extension with the Angels. Jared Cozart left last night's start with a tight right hamstring. That maybe means when Alvarez is back, Phelps could stay in the rotation?
I think that's very likely what that means.
Phelps starts tonight, and he's been really good. Do they have a day game? Or are they off today? He makes their next
today.
Start. Okay. Justin Masterson is on the DL with arm fatigue. In a related note, Clay Buchholz, Wade Miley, and Joe Kelly will soon be on the DL with arm fatigue.
And in also related news, Stephen Wright is starting for the Red Sox this weekend.
That is great, Al. Chris, do you get the joke? Do you know who Stephen Wright is?
Oh, the comedian Stephen Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the knuckleballer. Andrew McCutchen stayed hot, 1-for-3 with 2 RBI and a steal. That's good to see. Colorado starting pitcher Jordan Lyles left last night's start with a hand injury. Brett Oberholzer on the DL. He had a blister that had to come out of the game early. Alex Avila will rehab his knee injury. He's not going to have season-ending surgery, but no timetable for his return. Mitch Moreland back in the Texas lineup. Kyle Blanks was on the bench. Bonifacio started at second base, batted second for the White Sox at Milwaukee. For AL-only leagues, do you think he will usurp Micah Johnson, Emilio Bonifacio?
Yeah, I do. It seems like that process is underway.
Adam Lynn started against a lefty. He went 0-for-3 with a walk and 2 strikeouts, but that was Jose Quintana, who had a great game. Aramis Ramirez returned to the lineup. Gene Segura was out with a sore pinky. Zach Cozart returned to the lineup and doubled. Kelly Johnson left last night's game with an oblique strain, and Henderson Alvarez will make one rehab start, and then he should be back. This next section is called Still Streaking. I got 4 guys. They're still streaking. Torrey Hunter, Marlon Byrd, and Shin-Soo Chu. They're all top 10-ish outfielders over the last 2 weeks. Hunter is a top 4 hitter over the last 2 weeks. And Jimmy Paredes, I think he has a 12-game hitting streak. And over the last 14 days, he's actually only the number 12 third baseman in points, number 10 in Roto. But he's only 5 fantasy points behind Josh Donaldson, who's number 3. So third base has just been really good over the last 2 weeks. The names are Hunter, Byrd, Chu, and Paredes. They had good games yesterday, and do you have anything to say about them?
For Chu, I mean, I'll definitely take the power. It's good to see him producing in that area, but still so many strikeouts. About 40% of his at-bats during his hot streak. So
him not drawing a lot of walks right now. He's getting the hit-by-pitches, which has always been a skill of his, but not getting on base as much beyond getting hits as you would expect from him.
Jimmy Paredes, tell me what you think. We talked about it on yesterday's podcast. So, Al, you weren't there. What do you think about Jimmy Paredes?
He's just an absolute enigma to me. I don't know where this has come from. He is more of a fly ball hitter this year than he's been in the past, but that does not fully explain the monumental jump in power. But he's been doing it long enough that at some point you just you don't try to figure it out. You just he's 66% owned, so at this point he's probably in most of the leagues where I'd be interested in getting him. But if you can get him, you ride it out.
So with Paredes this year and Steve Pierce last year, who are the Orioles going to find off the scrap heap next season? What like failed major leaguer are they going to turn into like a middle of the order hitter?
This is a fun game.
Because it's what kind of magical spell do they have, and can they only do it one person per year?
Yeah, and then that's it for that guy.
And then some kind of like, I don't know, there was a book about a guy who sells his soul to the devil to hit baseballs for the Yankees. I don't know what the book's called. I've heard about it. It's like that kind of thing, but maybe not the devil, because it's not really like, they're not playing that well.
Maybe
like a minor demon.
More proof that the Yankees are better than the Orioles in every way. Nobody's selling their soul to play for Baltimore.
It was like 70 years, and it was a fictional story. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
Damn you, Towers.
Jose Tabata.
Jose Tabata. Rest of season, Jimmy Paredes or Chase Headley?
Headley, because I know he has a job.
Yeah, I'll go Headley, too.
Wow, Headley's not good.
Sure.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
He's meh.
Jimmy Paredes or Josh Harrison?
Harrison.
I'll go Harrison too. I worry he's going to get gonged. I mean, I think given a chance, he'll turn it around because I think most of his problems are BABIP related, but I fear he won't really get a chance.
Al, I think, what do you think about this? If anybody's going to get Jung Ho gonged, it would be Jordy Mercer.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I don't know how Gong does defensively, full disclosure. I don't know if he's a good shortstop or what.
They've been getting such disastrous production from the left side of their infield that I think he'll get in there at one of those two spots, and I think Harrison's better than Mercer.
Deep leagues, Adam Warren and Wade Miley pitched well yesterday. Does anyone care?
Not too much, but Warren is making it sort of interesting for when Capuano comes back, which should be really soon. as to whether it's he or Whitley that stays in the rotation.
I would hope it's Whitley, to be honest with you. I think Warren just would be better for the Yankees to be in their bullpen. But, you know.
Just well, he just might be screwing that up for you.
More reason why the Yankees are better than the Orioles. We're not talking about the Orioles bullpen today, are we? Psh. Buy or sell part two. Barry Baker says, buy or sell, Nick Martinez's ERA remains below 350.
I think this is awesome because we had a discussion on Daily Fantasy Live the other night about where his ERA would land. And I said, I think mid threes. Heath was arguing more around four. I'll go ahead and take the over. So I guess I'm selling, but just barely.
Sell.
Mitchell Phillips, 2020 season for Marcus Semien, buy or sell?
I'm buying it.
I'll sell it just barely.
From Dub, Chu, Shinsu Chu, top 30 outfielder rest of season in a head-to-head categories league.
Sell.
I will too.
How about top 50?
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Buy.
From Brent, from the date he gets called up, Carlos Correa finishes as a top 12 shortstop, buy or sell?
Buy. The bar is so low there.
Yeah.
And he's so talented.
My only question is, what are they going to do with Jed Lowry? Or are they going to maybe move Correa to third or something?
It's a pretty serious injury for Lowry.
I mean, Lowry might not be back until July.
Right. So I think at the earliest, actually.
It might be a situation where they don't worry about that at all. It might be a situation where they can move Luis Valbuena at the trade deadline. So I think they'll be able to find playing time for both of them.
Yeah, so I'll buy two.
As a prospect, is Carlos Correa significantly better than Addison Russell?
Yeah, I think. I mean,
better. I mean, significantly. I don't know that goes that far.
You're talking about there's not a lot of room for significantly better, but I think among the elite players, yeah. What he's doing at his age, at the levels that he's been playing at, it's unbelievable.
Well, it'll be interesting when he gets called up to see how he does because I just kind of feel like prospects typically disappoint. And Mike Trout has kind of ruined it for everyone because people, you can get Mike Trout, but it's just
it just
doesn't happen. I mean,
yeah, but like even Carlos Correa is so young that like the comp that you're talking about for like a 20-year-old making his major league debut is Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper being disappointing is still really, really good. Yeah. So, like, I think there's room for him to be a disappointment and still be a very useful fantasy option.
More buy or sell. Michael Lang, buy or sell. Victor Martinez, 20 home runs.
Sell.
My gut says sell. My brain says check the spray chart. And he has had some near misses. I'll go with the gut and sell.
Again, they have got to stop batting him cleanup when he's facing a righty.
I mean, maybe he could just stop, maybe just try hitting from the right side of the plate.
He won't do it. He was asked about it again, and V-Mart said, nope, not happening. Kevin says, buy or sell, Alex Wood becomes droppable in 10-team leagues after his next start.
Well, I guess it depends on how bad his next start goes, but I'll sell it.
I'm selling it, too.
Is he starting? Do they play today? It's got to be starting
soon. Well, let me see. I've been more focused on the evening slate.
Yeah, me too.
For daily purposes. So I kind of forgot who's going early.
Well, you can check that out. Gord Henderson, buy or sell. Chris Archer finishes the season as a more valuable fantasy starting pitcher than John Lester. Archer over Lester, buy or sell?
Selling it.
What is starting Saturday?
Starting Saturday? Okay.
Yep.
Against who?
The Miami Marlins. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did well.
Okay. And we're selling. We like Lester better than Archer?
I like Lester better than Archer. I'm not sure that's the way I responded to the question.
Well, okay. That's the important part, though. Is Heath there?
Heath,
are you
in
here?
Yeah. I'm back.
Hey, let's DFS it.
It's Heath's comings and goings.
What a night last night was. Didn't everybody make money, right?
Yeah, no. I did. You know why I didn't? Because I played the day slate.
Don't. Okay.
And I guess you didn't have Kluber.
I did not have
that.
No, I had Sonny Gray. But yeah, I think
Kluber had 30 FanDuel points, and I think that's one of the highest in a long time.
Might be a record.
Yeah, I'd actually be surprised if it wasn't.
Seems like it was probably a record.
I thought the A's were going to beat up Wade Miley. And so there you go.
Probably not alone.
Yeah, the A's are a lot better against right-handed pitching than they are against left-handed.
I didn't have that many options, but touche.
That's why I don't play day slates.
I don't know why. I was giving it a shot. It is harder when there aren't a lot of teams. I learned that lesson the hard way yesterday. So who do you like today, Heath, with the night slate?
Word of the day is mediocrity. There's not enough good pitchers and there's not enough bad pitchers. So I've got it narrowed down to two. It's Johnny Cueto or Tyson Ross will be my starting pitcher of the day. Ross has a higher K potential, I feel like. The Giants haven't been very good on offense, but they haven't struck out. So that worries me with Cueto. He may be held hostage by BABIP, and I don't like to be in that situation. As far as offensively, this is getting kind of old. But the Dodgers just play mediocre right-hander after mediocre right-hander. And today it's not even mediocre. It's Chad Bettis.
Yeah, I know. I have three Dodgers in my lineup.
So I like them. I guess if I was going to be a little bit sneakier, I might try some cheaper right-handed Red Sox. I like Mike Napoli as kind of a punt play if you wanted to punt first base.
I don't think that's a punt play. He's very good against lefties.
He is. The difficulty for me will be playing a $2,500 first baseman when I could have Adrian Gonzalez.
Right.
Because you can't have Adrian Gonzalez and Mike Napoli.
Gonzalez is $2,000 more expensive.
That's true. He's probably $2,000 better.
Yeah. You can reinvest. Yeah.
You could reinvest somewhere else.
Would you go with Jimmy Rollins at shortstop? Because I have him in there mostly because I ran out of money, and he's basing Bettis.
How cheap is he today? I don't have my.
He's $2,700.
See, that's pretty much what he's been, and he's what another thing he's been is awful.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be really interested. He's somebody that for me, where his position in the lineup will matter a lot. Because yesterday when he was out of the lineup, they put Justin Turner second in the order. Turner's been a better hitter than him pretty much all year. If Rollins is back in the lineup, but he's not hitting second, I'm probably not going to play him. If he's hitting second, I feel like there's enough possibility for a positive outcome that, I'd go with him.
Let me ask you guys your batter versus pitcher stats here, your thoughts on a couple, two guys that I put in my lineup. I just put them in as placeholders, basically, and because they're cheap. Jay Bruce is really cheap. He's $2,500, and Marlon Byrd is $2,900. Bruce is 4-for-9 with a homer and a double off Lincecum. Byrd is 3-for-8. I wonder if those stats have come when Lincecum's been really bad in recent years. Now he's pitching better. Should we avoid Reds against Lincecum? I mean, it was hard to get. Byrd is one of the hottest hitters in baseball, and Bruce, maybe he's due for both under $3,000.
You're kind of playing it both ways here. I think you either need to stick with the this guy's hot, so I'm playing him, or the this guy's due, so I'm playing him. But you can't. You do. I don't know if I like doing both.
Yeah. I think this was the problem, Heath, that I ran into with Cueto in my lineup.
Yes.
And Cueto and Adrian Gonzalez. It's like now I'm just shopping for bargains.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue, and I think it may be better. And again, it's so early in the day, and with this new schedule, I don't get here very early. I haven't done enough research yet, but my initial thought is, if you're going to play that Dodgers stack, you probably have to go with Tyson Ross.
Okay. So, any other players that you like? Anything that stood out to you?
Something just kind of theory-wise that stood out to me yesterday. There was a big debate. You know, Matt Harvey was our favorite pitcher, and although Francisco Liriano was the highest-owned pitcher, which I didn't like because the Phillies had been pretty good against lefties, and Liriano's been pretty bad against lefties. But anyway, of course, the guy everybody was talking about was Raisel Iglesias, was only $3,000. And Raisel Iglesias did all that you could ask of him. 16 fantasy points, which is exactly the same as Harvey. Well, I played a Harvey lineup and I played an Iglesias lineup yesterday. My Harvey lineup scored 50.5 FanDuel points. My Iglesias lineup scored 49.5 FanDuel points.
For reference, what's a good FanDuel score?
It's really difficult because
40 should get you in the money.
It varies a lot. 40 should always get you in the money. Most days, 35 is going to get you in the money.
Okay.
But the point was, I saved $7,000 with Raisel Iglesias. $7,000. That's a ton. That's 20% of your salary cap. He scored the exact same amount as Matt Harvey.
Is there a lesson to be learned?
The lesson to be learned is when you're going cheap at pitcher, you're not just betting on that pitcher performing well at his low price, which is already a long shot. You're also betting on high-priced hitters outperforming cheap hitters, which in theory should happen, but certainly doesn't happen every day.
All right, Heat's going to have more info for you for tonight's slate. If you want to play, go to FanDuel.com, use our offer code CBS, and go to our website. DFS help for you at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Daily Fantasy Live with Ryan Bass, Heath Cummings, and is it Scott White tonight?
Tonight it's Weird Al.
Oh.
That was a big Al, didn't you?
Weird Al's Wacky Picks.
Cool. All right, good stuff. Gray the Trade. You can stay on board, Heath. Gray the Trade from Mike. Need a middle infield upgrade. Give up McHugh, get Simeon. Give up Lance Lynn, get Ian Desmond. Or just add to Shields and keep the pitchers. What would you guys do?
I think I like the McHugh-Simeon trade.
I think I like just adding to Shields.
Al, be a lot of help and say Lynn for Desmond.
Yes,
do
yes,
it.
Yes.
I actually am going to go that way.
Yes. Mike just turned off the podcast.
Tiebreaker, Adam.
Lynn for Desmond, I'd do it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, from Joshua, in a points league, give up Jock Peterson, Troy Tulowitzki, and Hector Rondon.
Blockbuster.
Yeah. So give up Jock Peterson, Troy Tulowitzki, and Hector Rondon. Get Carlos Gomez, Kyle Seager, Drew Storen, and Byron Buxton. Gomez, Seager, Storen, and Buxton. You're getting them.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not going to say F, but...
D minus.
Yeah, D.
But why aren't you going to just...
I disagree with you guys, by the way.
An F has to be like a catastrophic failure. Like,
who is the best player in the trade?
Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez is the best player in the trade?
In my opinion.
Or no, Tulo. Tulo's the best player in the trade.
Depends. I mean, I think Tulo's going to get hurt, so...
Oh, okay. Carlos Gomez isn't. No way.
He's already got hurt.
got it out of the way.
Who do you think is going to play more games the rest of the season, Gomez or Tulo? Honestly.
Gomez.
Yeah.
So, and they're close. I mean, come on. It's not like they're that
Tulo,
far apart.
You can argue maybe Gomez is the best player, but I think Tulo and Peterson are probably the two of the three best.
Yes.
I think Rondon and Storen you can swap, right?
I think they're relievers at that point. You're pretty much a wash in a points league.
It basically comes down to Peterson and Tulo for Gomez and Seager, and I'd rather have Gomez and Seager. I think Seager's actually a pretty solid buy low candidate.
I like Seager.
You're not buying low, though. That's not buying low at all.
but you're getting great. It seems kind of even to me, actually. I'm surprised you guys were so one way on it.
Yeah, I think I like Peterson quite a bit more than Seager.
And I like Tulo more than Gomez.
Well, so we'll see what happens with these rookies in August and September.
Yeah, just wait.
So you got your Jock Peterson voice. I tried yesterday in a video to work in, and I didn't because I just couldn't get to work. But something about the Jace Peterson catalog, and it just, I don't know. You think there's potential there?
Is that a Seinfeld reference?
Yeah.
Absolutely, there's potential there.
All right, I'll work on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seinfeld references, I'm working on a new segment for the nightly show called Believe It or Not.
Oh, yeah, that's good. And you should eat a Snickers bar with a knife and fork. That would be even cooler. That episode was on the other day. From Dustin, Grade the Trade, 12-team 5x5 roto. Give up Mike Leake and Marcus Simeon. Get Steven Strasburg and Chris Bryant.
A.
A plus.
Yeah, that's a straight up A.
I don't know. I don't like it. No, I'm just kidding. And Josh from Rochester, the Minnesota one. Grade the Trade. 10-team head-to-head points league. Give up Ryan Braun, Jason Hayward, Albert Pujols, Luis Valbuena, Jacob deGrom, and Edinson Volquez. I'll say it again. You're giving up Braun, Hayward, Pujols, Valbuena, DeGrom, and Volquez. You're getting Bautista, Marcelo Zuna, John Lester, and Corey Kluber.
A plus.
It's a lot to keep track of, but it seems like an A.
It's an A.
You could have stopped before Kluber, and I would have given it an A.
Yeah, it's totally an A. Good job. This is how you consolidate.
You might get the three best players in the deal. I think you do get the three best players in the deal.
Agreed.
Bautista, Lester, and Kluber. I think those are the three best players in the deal.
Yeah, that's the greatest trade in the history of trades.
Yeah, well. I did trade Anthony Rendon for Corey Kluber in our podcast league. I think that was the greatest trade.
It's pretty great.
Of course, I didn't have Kluber for this
week. Way to take advantage of the listeners, Adam.
It was proposed to me, my friend, and I am playing you, Heath, in the podcast league this week.
Yeah, my team is going down the drain. And I wanted to, if we had time, I wanted to ask you about that real quick.
You're undefeated, but yes, sure.
Is it possible that I just need, I would advise people to just bench Giordano and not drop him, but I don't have an excuse for him. He's been bad. I may have been wrong. But, you know, I got this new job and I came on and I talked about Giordano. I named my fantasy team after him. As a Royals fan, is the right thing for me to do to change my team name,
oh, no,
to denounce him, to drop him, and try to reverse the jinx?
Yeah,
oh,
well,
I guess if you think it's going to be effective, yeah.
Well, I think as long as you keep his, if you keep his name in the team name, I think that's terrific. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm just thinking. It's my responsibility to try to reverse the jinx that I've created, because that's the only explanation for how bad he's been.
So you don't know what you're going to do right now.
I don't know yet.
Right. Okay.
I got it. Yeah, I got that.
Thank you, because I had to say it twice to make sure you heard. Dudes, thank you guys very much. Good show, and back tomorrow with some week 7 help.
Time flies.
Oh, how about that?
Only like 36 weeks left in the fantasy baseball season, guys.
Winding
it's
down.
Really flying.
Heath out, Chris. Thank you, guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Dude.